I love those collabs.
They're so, me too.
So
me
good.
Too. Yep.
You know what? No matter what is going on, we know that we are called to partner with God and what He's doing. And we get distracted from that, but we know that we are. And we also know that we're in kind of a time of change and transition. You know, all those studies about how transition causes stress in our life, and it's hard. It's hard on us no matter what.
I love transition.
And I know you do. You thrive under transition. But for most of us, it puts us in this kind of state of chaos. And so right now, with all the things that, you know, we're used to holding on to that try to make us feel more secure, they're just not working the same. And they're not steadying us, and they're not taking away our anxiety and our stress, and you know, that comes from this kind of constant place of chaos right now, from the pandemic, from social injustice, from the loss of income or relationship, and you know, the loss of physical contact or even political unrest. And so in the midst of, you know, it can get despairing. In the midst of that, it can disorient us or get discouraging or cause confusion. And so we want to talk about how do we stay focused on seeing what God's doing and then joining in with that. And
that's
so
right.
Let's look at Philippians 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 11
that's right.
today.
Do you want to read that or do you want me to?
I'll read it.
Okay,
can I?
You go for
okay.
it, yeah.
All right. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. There's that word. From the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, one of my favorite promises in Scripture, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Mm. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, right. filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God.
You know, when we were prepping for this sermon, one of the things that you said was this passage gave you like an incredible opportunity to actually just share like your heart with our church and the way you feel about them.
Yeah, and you know, I don't say like I'm Apostle Paul saying this to the whole larger church, but it evoked in me this, you know, compassion and this bond that we have with our church. And I felt so grateful for our church and so excited to be part of a community for the last 20-some years that has really asked, how can we be on mission with God?
That's right.
And really, you know, extended ourselves to not just be a Christian, you know, club up here on the hill, but to actually say, God, what are you doing in the community? Yeah. And how do we bless the community? How do we serve
That's right.
the community? And people, we do it.
Yeah.
You hear of people doing it and
we're going to share some really cool stories.
Yeah, we get to share that. But it just, I felt so grateful for our church
yeah.
and I felt that bond,
That's
even
cool.
in the midst of not being able to meet and see
yeah.
everybody all the time. In
yeah.
fact, maybe that longing was part of what I was feeling.
Yeah, that's really good. And Brenda was expressing that to me. And so, yeah, we're going to take some time and we're going to unpack this passage a little bit. But we also just want to say thank you to the Duluth Vineyard community for just continuing to partner with what God is doing. So in this passage, there's a couple really cool things. The beginning of partnership is the linking of our need with God's resources, our neediness with God's resources. So this entire passage is Paul talking about how he prays for the church in Philippi. And there's a sweet little word in verse 4. In verse 4, Paul uses a really interesting Greek word. It's deesis. And deesis is the word that's translated prayers. So in all my prayers for all of you, that's deesis. In all my deesis for all of you. Now here's the deal. That's not the typical word that you would use for prayer in the Greek. Deesis actually means to have a need or to be in want. And so what Paul is saying is he's saying, in all my experience of need, I always pray for you. Think about that. In all my experience of want, I always pray for you. Paul's experiencing need, and he prays for the church in Philippi. Like, what, how does that add up? Here's the deal. If I'm not conscious of my need, I'll not pray, and I'll not partner with God. Partnership with God and with one another begins with an acknowledgement of our need. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the beginning point. I realize I have a need. I need a partner. Mm-hmm. And in God, we have a partner that goes well beyond any partner that we've ever known in any part of life.
And how much we need each other to partner.
Exactly.
With God.
We need one another in this. We're not called to be lone rangers, independent followers of Jesus. We're called together as community and in partnership with God. And then the second thing that stands out to me, it's right away in verse 3, that without thankfulness, it's actually pretty impossible to join the partnership no matter how much need you have. And so he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Throughout the scriptures, we see that thankfulness is extremely important to God. Like 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Or I could go on in Colossians or in Philippians or Hebrews chapter 12. It reads like this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Why? Like, why is thankfulness a big deal to God? What does it accomplish in us? Like, why would our creator, why would our designer place such an emphasis on thankfulness throughout the scripture? Here's the deal. It's a big deal to God, and this issue comes up over and over again, that it's a big deal to God. Thankfulness is big to him, and it's because it reveals our fundamental view of life. Your fundamental view of life is revealed by whether or not or how often you say thank you to God. Nothing is more telling about your spiritual orientation, about how you think about God or life or yourself, than how frequently you say thank you to God. You can tell a lot about a person, like all the way down to their toes, by how often or whether they say thank you to God.
Yeah, I mean, it's not at first glance, you don't realize that, but you do see people who turn so negative because they get so fixated on what's not happening rather than, wait a minute, there's God. See what he's doing over there.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for what he is doing, and it lifts our spirits in a really unique way.
That's right.
In the middle of our grieving and our loss and, you know, our time with our family and friends, disappointment kind of sometimes, even disappointment about having to wear masks or other restrictions, we stop being thankful sometimes for what we do have.
That's right.
And for what God is doing. And so... you're right. It creates a lens that we just can't get out from under if we don't start to be thankful. And then as we start to see what God's doing, and every time I see that God did this or that in somebody's life, or I start to partner with him, you know, I've actually come to the end of myself most days lately. And as I lean in and depend on the Holy Spirit, and he goes, Brenda, I'm doing this, or look over here, or reach out to this person, or have this person for dinner. As I do that, there's a joy that comes from that, from partnering with God. Verse 4 says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul is like saying, like, he experiences joy even sitting in a prison cell.
That's right.
Because the church is partnering in the gospel.
That's right. Yeah, Paul is experiencing joy partly because he's not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. And participating with one another in the gospel does bring joy. See, the deal is we're created for community.
Yeah.
That's why this whole idea of social isolation
is painful.
Yeah. Like, I think it's a really harmful word to actually use for what we are supposed to be experiencing. It's okay to be socially distant. I mean, physically
distant. Yeah.
But we should not be socially distant at all, not even a little bit, to stay safe in a global pandemic. So do not isolate yourself socially or relationally, unless, of course, you really just want to develop more destructive mental health issues in your life.
And it does take creativity. You know, like,
it does,
I'm finding that I have to be intentional to meet with friends or family or, you know, things that maybe we did in a different way. So it takes intentionality to say, God, you know, you made me with this need. You're not trying to rip me off. So how can I still have healthy relationship with people you want me to.
Yeah.
And when we do start to like see and then acknowledge that God is working and he's active, then we start to, it bubbles up. We have this deeper, great joy because we know, for me, it's like, God, you're redeeming all of this.
That's right.
And you are in control.
That's right.
And you have this providence that's going to sweep through all of our unsettling circumstances. And it's going to keep lifting our spirits to see that you are working through this. And so joy becomes this natural response to God at work with our neighbors or our family or in our relationships. Or, you know, I had a really fun opportunity where somebody that I was praying with last week said, I'm really stuck in this relationship at work and things are super tense and it's affecting my job. And we just prayed about it and asked God to do a miracle and came up with a bit of a, you know, go-to plan for how to respond like Christ. And literally within 48 hours, the whole thing broke open. Mm. And, you know, this person that was causing a lot of trouble resigned. And I was like, it's a miracle. And I felt so much joy, you know, for my friend that God is working. And
I thought you were going to say that they worked out the relationship, not that they resigned.
Well, that's the way God worked this one out.
That's the way it worked that one out. I picture it a lot like an old school Easter egg hunt, you know, where you're looking for the treasure and you find it. When I'm looking and I see God working, it does bring joy. Yeah. It's like, I found the Easter egg. I found like the treasure thing that's going on there.
That's sweet.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you hide things around the house for me, I find them. It's pretty cool.
I don't have to. You hide your own things and can't find them all the time.
All right. So we are partnering with God. What brings joy is we're partnering in the gospel, right? And the gospel in Christianity is not that complicated. We are partners in what God is doing all around us right now. And so as I mentioned at the beginning, like we are following the example that Jesus gave us. Throughout the Gospel of John, for instance, over and over again, beginning in chapter 5, John highlights that Jesus is reminding his disciples that he was not doing or saying anything that wasn't prompted by God the Father through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is reminding the church that they're partners in the gospel. And this is key. The gospel is literally the good news. Think about it. What was the good news with Jesus? What's the good news of the gospel? At its most basic level, it's the availability of God to meet real human need. Like, why did people crowd around Jesus? It was because in the person of Jesus, they experienced the availability of God. God's presence and God's power was right there available to meet their deepest needs physically and socially and emotionally and spiritually and in every way. And you and I, as Christians, as followers of Christ, as little Christs, as people who are surrendered to Christ and spiritually alive with the presence of the Holy Spirit, we're meant to become the good news. Like, we get to bring the power and presence of God, the kingdom of God, to those around us. And so that's what we're partnering in.
Yeah, and, you know, we definitely are faced with so many people in need during the pandemic, and what we have wanted to do, what's in our hearts to do, we've asked our community to do, is to partner with God and keep being the church, building or no building, keep being the church day in, day out. When God is moving, then we're going to follow him. And as a result, we have been able to experience some sharing in the gospel.
That's right.
As Paul talks about.
That's right.
The church here. So we've had a number of people, many people who have become followers of Jesus since March 1st, which is kind of when the shutdown became a reality for us. We've had 160 people make first-time commitments to Christ.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And an online church.
And 10 others who have said, my life wasn't orientated around Christ, and I've recommitted myself to Christ in the last, and that's just in the last 24 weeks.
Wow.
160. So we're seeing many people from our church are, you know, showing up and helping with Fruit of the Vine, packing groceries. It's all drive-through, so they pray for people before they even get out of their car, right?
Yeah.
One Fruit of the Vine guest told us that a volunteer prayed with her while she was in her car for her knee to be healed because she was going to have surgery. And she came back the next food shelf and told us that her knee was totally healed. She went into the doctor who did an x-ray and was stumped because she didn't need surgery anymore.
That's so really cool.
God is physical healing, the kingdom coming.
Yeah.
We had another fruit of the vine guest tell us that because we've been able to open up the food shelf and do unlimited visits to receive food, people can come as often as they want right now because of generous donations. It saved her so much on groceries that she's able to save up and get the brakes on her car fixed, which was kind of a safety issue. It was becoming a safety issue for her.
Yeah.
We had another woman who was, you know, living out of her car, visiting the food shelf, and we kept loading her up with groceries that were kind of specific to what she could eat living out of a car. And she came in a few weeks ago, and we were able to offer her some hygiene items. She was so overwhelmed with joy because she hadn't had, you know, access to those kinds of things in weeks, like just simple deodorant, laundry soap.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And
that is,
you know,
so
she was
good.
Just so grateful for the offering.
Yeah.
And it's just so fun to see God working like
that's
and showing people how much He loves us, and we just get to be the hands and feet.
Of Jesus. That's really cool stuff. And then as we continue on in this passage in Philippians chapter 1, we see that our confidence that we have actually comes from God's commitment to finish what He started. Look at verse 6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, our confidence doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from our own amazing abilities. It doesn't come from, you know, our consistent follow-through. It doesn't come from even our brilliant ideas. Sorry, Brenda. Our confidence is based actually on the character, the nature of God. And what we see is that God's the initiator. He's the one that began this work in you, in us, in our world. And our confidence comes from the biblical fact that God chose us. The Apostle John says that we love God because He first loved us. Like, that's 1 John 4:19. And so we choose to submit and surrender to God's love.
Yeah.
But listen, we're not equal partners with God. God leads and we follow. Christianity is all about God starting and He's leading the dance. That's why Jesus says in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit. And so first is God's choice of us, and then what follows is our choice of God. I heard one person say it this way: there won't be anyone in heaven who didn't choose to be there, and there won't be anyone in hell who really wanted to follow Christ. It's like God's the one who starts it, initiates it. He's the one who's going to follow through, and then He empowers us to follow Him. And so God's love, as it comes to us, it inclines our will. It stimulates our will. It motivates our wills to choose for Him. And then He's the one who finishes what He begins. He's not just a good visionary. He's not someone who begins lots of projects and then loses interest.
Yeah.
He finishes what He starts. He's an initiator and a maintainer. Right? He's a starter, He's a builder, and He's like a good manager. And the reason that we're able to love other people is because God first set His love on us.
Yeah.
So like, here's the deal. When you feel like you don't measure up, when you feel like you failed, or maybe you've dropped the ball, or maybe you have projects that you started that like you've given up on, you've lost interest, God doesn't cancel you the way we cancel one another. Not in any way, shape, or form. Rather, as you turn towards Him in submission and surrender, He welcomes you home.
Yeah, there's so much peace in that.
And yeah.
That's such a treasure, so
that's
much
right.
promise in that.
Yeah.
You know, another way that it says in verse 7 that we partner with God is in His grace. It says this, "It's right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with
me." Right.
So there's this partnering in God's grace. And you know what? I think that right now, more than any other time, it is God's grace that sustains us through the highs and the lows.
That's because
it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all thought like, oh, we're going to weather this and be done with it. And you know, but here's what most of us are discovering. As much as we would like things to kind of go back and maybe return to the way they were, pre-COVID-19, that might not happen soon.
Not for a while.
some of that stuff might not happen ever.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's this grieving, this kind of loss that settles into us. And the only way that we can stay focused on Jesus and then partner with all the things God's doing, all the activity around us, and not be, you know, despairing daily, is we have to learn how to receive more grace for what this is that we're facing. And you know, we're all kind of feeling different losses, different grieving, but we have to receive grace. Grace to really, you know, figure out how to keep laying down our life, how to make some of the sacrifices that we have, how to not get what I want during pandemic.
Well, yeah.
Even how to shift from the political lens and viewpoint to a kingdom lens and viewpoint.
That's right.
You know, less of seeing things through the world's lens and more of seeing things the way God sees it.
Mm.
We just can't fixate on, you know, God's only going to work in these certain ways or these modes that we're used to.
Yeah, that we're comfortable with.
Yeah, and, you know, and then limit our view to the way that we've experienced God or to the ways that we feel the most comfortable with.
Yeah.
So when circumstances kind of lead us to start to feel like, God, you're not doing anything, you know, and then it's time for us to stop and look at, you know, what God wants, or, you know, even how maybe we aren't giving up what we want, or we're holding on, we have this attachment to, you know, what we have felt comfortable with and trying to go back to the way things were, because that causes us to just kind of lose the ability to see God is at work everywhere in all things, but it just looks different.
It does. It looks very different sometimes.
Yeah, and we miss there's so many new opportunities, and we miss those opportunities.
That's right.
And those new ways, because we're over here despairing and grieving and thinking that, oh, God's not doing these things. But he is working everywhere in all things, even in the pandemic.
And so part of that partnership, I think about it this way, is we're all living off of the grace of God. All of us are. We're all eating from the same table. And we're all getting the love and the peace that we don't deserve. Yeah, and so that grace that Paul is saying he's sharing with the church in Philippi, he's in prison, they're not, and yet they share the same grace.
Yeah.
We're like physically isolated, that we're doing church in different ways, we're doing life in different ways, and yet we all share in that same grace of God.
And we have to ask for more.
That's
when
right.
we feel out of grace for pandemic, we have to ask for more. When we feel out of grace for some of the restrictions, we have to ask for more.
Yeah.
More
and then,
grace.
And then at the end of this passage, Paul prays a prayer in verse 9. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God." Listen, Brenda and I have such affection in our hearts for you, for the Duluth Vineyard Church. And you may not realize it, but you are constantly in our hearts and on our minds, and you're part of our prayers. We dearly love you. And our prayer for all of us together echoes what Paul prayed here. In fact, we go back to these prayers, and these become our prayers for us together. And our prayer is that as we partner together to really bring the power and presence of the resurrected Christ to the Twin Ports with the love of Christ, our prayer is that our love may abound more and more, that no matter what's going on the outside, we become more and more in love with Christ, loving one another, and loving those who are not part of our church community, and that in doing that, we would grow in knowledge and depth of insight, that we'd see what God's doing, and that we'd see the thing behind the thing behind the thing, and actually be able to get to the real issues that are going on that God wants to heal in people's lives, and that we'd be able to discern what is best.
Yeah.
Instead of arguing about this or that, led by the Holy Spirit, we'd be able to discern what's really important, and that each of us would be pure as we stand before Christ when he returns. That we'd be full of all the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit would be evident in our lives, and that all to the glory of God. And as the national director of the Vineyard, Phil Strout, likes to say, that he kind of copied from the Jesuits, to the glory of God and to the well-being of our community. We believe that God's called us together as a church for a time like this to actually bring partner with Christ to bring healing, God's power in his presence, the shalom of God to the whole Twin Ports community. Yeah. And whether we gather together physically or not, that doesn't stop that one iota, not even one little bit. Again, as I said earlier, the pandemic has not put God on hold.
No.
He is moving. And so my prayer for us is that God would give us new lenses to see what he's doing in the lives of the people around us, and that he would give us courage to say yes to him every time we see a little bit of need, mm-hmm. no matter what we think we have to offer.
Yeah.
Like we look at our own resources and we think, I don't have enough.
No, I mean, I feel at the end of myself most days and I say, God, if you want me to do that, would you put your grace in me to do it? And he does.
And he does every single time.
Every time.
But it's usually not until you begin to step out.
No, you have enough because he's faithful.
That's right.
To, you know, and it doesn't make you more weary or more empty or more tired. It's like, wow, I saw this spirit in that.
That's
I saw
right.
God move.
So let's pray for the church right now, and then we'll have a few announcements and go into a time of worship here at our online service. And so do you want to begin?
Yeah.
Do you want me to start, and then I'll follow up?
Yeah. Father, thank you so much for these words in Scripture, this prayer that Paul prays, and the way that it reflects so rightly even our heart for our church. I thank you for this church, God. I thank you for the people, you know, way more than the building, God. I thank you for the people in this church.
That's right.
And how even as we go through this difficult time right now, unique time that we've never been through, we know you are with us and we see you alive and well. We see your kingdom coming. I thank you for every person that holds on to that and doesn't easily get distracted. And I ask that you'd help us all just to remain focused on what you're redeeming, not what is lost, not what is lost, but for you to redeem. And there's true life in that.
Yeah.
There's true life in that. Let it come, Lord.
And then for those of us that maybe we look at our own internal resources and we realize, like, I don't have what it takes to actually bring the power and presence of Christ to my neighbors or even to my own family. When, for those of us, we look at our own internal resources and we realize it's not enough, God, I ask that you would encourage us that that's the very best place to be. That's the very best place to be. You're absolutely right. What we bring to the table is not enough. And so would you give us a grace to submit and surrender to you right now, like lock, stock, and barrel, like unconditional surrender. And then, God, would you fill us with your love and your peace, your grace, the love that we don't deserve, so that we are filled up to the place we can turn around and give that away to others.
Yeah.
And would you give us the courage to step out even when we feel like our resources are depleted? Because it's in those moments of stepping out and stepping into the water before the waters parted that you actually come and begin to move. Mm. Would you give us a freedom and a grace to do that? And I just want to challenge and encourage us that in submission and in surrender to Jesus Christ, there is freedom that we long for. And there is love and grace and provision in all sorts of different ways that we never imagined right there in that submission and surrender. So God, give us a grace to do that now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.